You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Redemption Online. It's so good to be with you this morning. Hey, I want to say a special welcome to all of our first-time guests. If you're joining us for the first time today, we're so glad to have you with us. My name is Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here. Welcome to all of you. As we continue the series we started last week called Are We There Yet? Come on, how many of you remember asking that question when you were a kid, growing up, you know, on a road trip, on family vacation? Are we there yet? How many of you parents have heard that question like 1,000 times? Come on, parents. How many of you ever felt like, if you ask me that question one more time, I'm going to lose my mind? Are we there yet? So speaking of road trips, a few weeks ago, my family and I were on vacation in Maine, and we went to Acadia National Park. If you've never been to Acadia before, it's an absolutely beautiful place. And one of the highlights of Acadia is to go to Cadillac Mountain. Cadillac Mountain is the tallest peak on the eastern seaboard of the United States, over 1,500 feet tall. So not as big as like the Rockies out west, but pretty big. And it takes some time to drive up to the summit. So we're driving up, and there's all these amazing views as we're making our way to the top. But it takes quite some time. You're kind of on this winding road. And on the way up, I looked over and I saw this guy on his bike just trucking away, going up the mountain. Now, I'm getting tired just driving up the mountain, and here's this guy riding his bike up the mountain. I was really impressed. I mean, I was like, good for you, dude. But I'll tell you what, I would not want to ride my bike up Cadillac Mountain. Like, that's got to hurt. I'm just thinking, man, that's got to really hurt. Like, I have a mountain bike at home in my garage. I ride it around the neighborhood every now and then, but I've never taken it up a mountain. I thought they just called it a mountain bike. I didn't know people actually took them and rode them up mountains. And so I'm looking at this guy, and I'm thinking, man, that's got to hurt. Here's the point, church. We don't like pain, do we? We don't like pain. We don't like struggle. We don't naturally like difficult things. Come on, how many of you just find yourself naturally gravitating toward pain and suffering? If you do, we're going to pray for you. You need some serious counseling, because I think most of us do just about everything we can to avoid difficult things, to avoid pain, to avoid suffering. But here's the problem. Here's the catch. Pain is unavoidable. Pain is just a part of life. Struggle and difficulty, it's just a part of life. In fact, Jesus said this in John chapter 16, verse 33. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. Now, the good news is he said, take heart, I've overcome the world. But Jesus said, you can take this to the bank. In this world, in this broken planet that we live on, we are going to face trouble and difficulty. It's just a part of life. So here's one thing that we all have in common. This ought to make you feel a little bit better, okay? Doesn't matter how much money you have, doesn't matter where you're at, what season of life you're in, we all go through difficult times. We all experience struggles. Some struggles are struggles we bring in ourselves. We make bad decisions. And then there are some things that are just beyond our control, things that happen to us that we didn't see coming, maybe something someone else did to us. And what I want to suggest to us today is it's not so much if, but it's how. How are we going to respond when difficult things come? It's really how we respond that matters. The noted author and rabbi, Harold Kushner, said this. He said, much of the time, we cannot control what happens to us, but we can always control how we respond to what happens to us. Isn't that true? I've found in life that in so many seasons of life, I really can't control the difficult things that often come into my life, surprisingly. All I can really control with the help of the Holy Spirit is how I respond to those things. Now, when it comes to how we respond, I really believe that's a reflection of our faith. I think how we respond, it really is a reflection of how much faith we have. I think it's really helpful to think about our faith, our spiritual journey in three phases, or maybe we might say three stages of faith. Let me give them to you, and you can tell me if these resonate. You can put these in your notes today. Here's the first one. The first phase of faith we might call confident faith. Confident faith. This is the first stage. This is what I call like the honeymoon stage of faith. Maybe you experienced this when you first became a Christian. You know, you first prayed the sinner's prayer. Somebody led you to Christ. You heard a message and you placed your faith. You said yes to Jesus and you felt like you were on top of the world. Come on, confident faith. Like you felt like you and God were like this. Like you prayed and you felt like God heard your prayers and he moved and he would answer your prayers. And it was like, this is amazing. This prayer thing really works. And you would read your Bible and you would do what the Word of God says and you would get results, like blessings would happen. Come on, in confident faith, we're really feeling full of joy. We're feeling full of gratitude. You wake up in the morning and you find yourself in the shower singing, Waymaker, Miracle Worker, come on, Promise Keeper. Yeah, that is the confident stage of faith. And isn't it wonderful when we're living there? But inevitably we get to the next phase in our journey of faith. And this is what I would call challenged faith. Yeah, challenged faith. No matter how long the season of confident faith lasts, and we love it when it lasts, we inevitably get to this point where we find ourselves in a season of what I would call challenged faith. When suddenly everything that was working for us before in the confident faith stage is no longer working for us. For example, we feel like we pray, and like God doesn't hear, does God even hear our prayer requests? Like nothing I'm praying for is being answered. Like God, are you even up there? We do things God's way, and before it was getting results, and now it doesn't seem to get results. Like, hey, Pastor Jeremy, you told me, like, you know, I was supposed to forgive people, you know, like I'm supposed to turn the other cheek, and I went and tried to make peace with this person and forgive them, and they cursed me out. It didn't work out. Like, this is what the Bible said to do, and it didn't work out. Come on, have you been there before? And so it's tough, right? Doubts begin to grow, and we begin to have questions that emerge about, is this Christianity thing really working out for me? And we long for the days when faith seemed really fresh. We long for the days when we felt like unstoppable and our faith felt really fresh and new. See, some of you, this is how you started off 2020. Can you remember way back then? I know like in COVID time, that feels like 5 years ago. But remember back in January, you know, we began the year with 21 days of prayer and fasting. And some of you had your pray first bracelet. And like you were believing like, this is my year. Come on, I'm going to grow spiritually. I'm going to get closer to God. Like I'm ready for spiritual breakthrough. I'm going to be walking in victory. Come on, this is my year. And then March hit. Like, yeah, how did that work out for you? March hit. And quickly, what started off as maybe a season of confident faith became challenged faith. Come on, if there's one word that we could use to describe the year 2020, it would be challenging. Anybody with me? Come on, can I get an amen? Somebody. So here we find ourselves in this season of challenged faith. And then for some of us, you know, we had the tropical storm this week and we've been out of electricity. So as of the time of this recording, there's no electricity in the Ziegler's house. It's 2020, right? How many of you find yourself saying that? It's 2020. Anything could happen. Like, I don't know, the Martians coming for us next. Who knows? Be prayed up. Okay, so there's confident faith. There's challenged faith. But I got some good news for you. Come on, how many of you are ready for some good news? Here's the good news. The good news is that a season of challenged faith has the potential to take us into the next stage, and that's what I would call living faith. Living faith. Number three, the third phase. Living faith is, it's a deep and abiding faith. It remains strong in the midst of even difficult circumstances, even in the midst of pain and suffering. And I really believe that for most of us, this is the kind of faith that we would aspire to. I think many of us, you know, think about the people around you who encourage you, their example, their testimony, their faith inspires you. People who have lived through things, right? People who, like, they just hold on to God and they hold on to hope even when things are difficult. I think we all really want this kind of genuine, real faith. But here's the catch. The only way to get living faith is to journey through the challenged faith stage. Are you with me? If you want to get there, if you want to be that kind of person who really embodies living faith, well, you don't get there unless you hold on to God as you get through the challenged faith stage. And so today, I want us to focus on the journey through challenged faith. How do we push through it? How do we respond? Oftentimes we can't control when difficult things happen. It's all about how we respond with God's help, with the help of the Holy Spirit. And so for the next few weeks, we are journeying through the Exodus story, the story of when God delivered the Israelites from the bondage of slavery in Egypt. And we kind of recapped the story last week. If you missed it, go back and listen to that message. But it all starts with a man named Joseph, the great patriarch Joseph, who was the great-grandson of Father Abraham. There was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, who was the father of Joseph, the 12 tribes of Israel. It all started with Joseph when he became the second in command of all of Egypt, and he invited his brothers, who were the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel, to come live with him in Egypt. And the scripture says that they prospered and they grew, and the Israelites became numerous. And a generation later, there was a new Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph, who wasn't familiar with his story, and he felt like these Hebrews, these Israelites, these foreigners living amongst us, he felt threatened by them. And so he said, we better get these Israelites under control. And he forced them into hard labor. He made them into slaves. And they had to do things like brick making and building cities for Pharaoh and doing really hard labor. And so that's where the story picks up. And so here's what I want to do. Today, I want us to look at two different scenes in the Israelite story and see how they responded to a season of challenged faith. That's what they were living in. Their whole existence right now as slaves in Egypt was a time of challenged faith. And here's what we're going to find. We're going to find that this one group of people had two really different responses. So let's look at it. Exodus chapter 3 is where we're going to start today. Exodus chapter 3, and this is the famous story of Moses and the burning bush. Moses and the burning bush. Let's look at this. Exodus chapter 3, starting with verse 1. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that through the bush, though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why this bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. So stop right there. Kind of a bizarre story. Here's Moses. He's out in the wilderness. He sees this bush. It's burning, but it's not being consumed. And it starts talking to him. Come on. I don't know about you, but it's like, was Moses smoking the bush? Or, you know, like, was this really happening? Yes, it was really happening. All throughout the Old Testament, fire was a symbol of the presence of God. And so God reveals himself to Moses here, and he begins speaking to him. Let's pick it back up and look at verses 7 through 8, and then we'll skip to verse 10. Here's what the Lord said to Moses. I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Fast forward to verse 10. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. So God calls Moses. He's like, Moses, I've got a job for you. I want you to go back to Pharaoh, and I want you to tell him to let my people go. Like, I'm going to use you to help lead these people out of Egypt into the promised land. Now, I want us to focus for just a moment on verse 7. Look at verse 7. It says, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out. How did the Israelites respond in their time of need? How did the Israelites respond to the burden of slavery? How did they respond to their suffering? Notice it says that they cried out to God. They cried out to God. Come on, church, have you ever been there before? Have you ever found yourself in a season when all you could do is cry out to God? Like, God, if you don't show up in this situation, like, God, if you don't show up in the midst of this emergency, God, I've got this loved one that's sick and I'm praying for them and they need a miracle. God, I need a new job. God, you see my financial situation. God, you see the brokenness in my marriage. Like, God, I need you. Come on, some of you, you've been there before when all you could do is cry out to God. And I want you to notice how God responds to the cries of his people. In verse 7, it says that he saw the people. He said, indeed, I have seen the misery of my people. So he sees his people. And then it says, he says, I have heard them crying out. God hears, he hears the people. And then he says he's concerned. Like, God has compassion for them. Come on, this is so important for us to understand because the scripture says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This same God, this same God who heard the cries of his people thousands of years ago in Egypt, in the bondage of slavery in Egypt, he's the same God who hears us. He's the same God who hears us when we cry out to him. Church, I want you to know he's the God who sees you. Come on, he's the God who hears you. He's the God who's moved with compassion when he hears your need. I know sometimes we wonder like, God, do you see me? Like, God, do you hear my prayers? But I take comfort when I see the scripture to know that he's the God who's moved by our suffering. He's the God who's moved by our need, and he's got compassion, and he's for you. Come on, somebody needs to hear that today. He hears your prayers. Now, fast forward a few chapters. God hears the cries of his people. He appears to Moses in the burning bush, and he raises up Moses to be the deliverer of his people. And so a lot happens, right? We recap the story last week. Moses goes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh won't let the people go. God sends the 10 plagues on Egypt, you know, the locusts and the flies and the frogs and the Nile turns to blood. All this crazy stuff culminates with the Passover when God sends the angel of death to strike down the firstborn child of all of the Egyptians. Terrible things that happens, but this is what it takes for Pharaoh to finally be broken, and he lets the children of Israel go in the Passover. And so here they are, they begin to move out into the promise, into this promise of deliverance in a promised land. But something interesting happens, and we actually looked at this last week. It happens in Exodus chapter 13. Let's revisit it. Exodus 13, 17 through 18, it says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. Like, he didn't take them on the shortcut, the quickest route right into the promised land. No, it says, for God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. So God doesn't lead the Israelites straight into the promised land. Now, you know, after all they've been through, hundreds of years in Egypt, you would think, right, that God's going to move them straight into the promised land. He doesn't do that. Instead, he takes them on the desert road into the wilderness. Not quite the rescue that they were hoping for. Come on, they had maybe a little bit different picture in mind of how God might deliver them when Pharaoh finally set them free. And doesn't this remind you of our lives sometimes? Come on, doesn't life feel like this sometimes? Like you cried out to God and maybe he began to change your circumstances, but now you find yourself on a road that you didn't expect yourself to be on. Like maybe you thought it was going to be a little bit different. Like, okay, God, like I thank you that you intervened in my situation, but now I'm on this road that I never thought I would be on. I'm on this path that I never saw coming. You know, it's kind of like Jesus, take the wheel, but where are you steering this thing? I might have to take it back. Here's the point, and I want you to put this in your notes today. Sometimes the path of rescue can also be the place of challenged faith. Come on, church, did you get that today? Sometimes the path of rescue, it's also the place of challenged faith. Sometimes your rescue also looks like the season of challenged faith. Sometimes it gets more difficult before it gets easier. Sometimes there's a season of delay. Sometimes God answers your prayer request, but he doesn't quite answer it how you thought he would. Come on, how many of you have been a Christian long enough? How many of you walk with God long enough to know that sometimes God answers your prayer, but he doesn't always answer it the way you thought he was going to answer it? Doesn't mean he's not faithful. Doesn't mean he's not in charge, in control. Doesn't mean he's not sovereign. It just means that he didn't answer the prayer request the way you thought he was going to answer it. And so maybe you find yourself crying out like, God, I'm in this job and I'm in this toxic atmosphere and I've got this supervisor who's making my life really difficult and God, I need a new job and I'm experiencing all of this stress. And then all of a sudden you got laid off. And I'm not saying God did it to you, but maybe he allowed it to happen in your life and you're like, okay, well, oh, I need a new job, but now I'm unemployed. Now I'm on to a new problem. Do you understand? Sometimes the rescue looks like a season of challenge faith, and God's like, I haven't forgotten you. I've got my hand on you. I'm moving you somewhere. I've made a promise to you. I'm going to take care of you. I love you. I hear your prayers. It's just that I'm working and it doesn't look exactly like you thought it was going to look. And that's exactly what happened to the Israelites. But if we continue the story. Come on, you got to keep journeying in the story. Sometimes we get stuck in one chapter and we think it defines us, but it's just one chapter. God is writing a story that is your life, and he's not done with you just yet. So if we keep going in the story, here's what we see. God does all kinds of amazing things as Israel is journeying through the wilderness. The scripture says that he appears in a cloud by day and fire by night. And of course, he parts the Red Sea when the Egyptians come after the Israelites. And he provides manna in the wilderness, like bread from heaven. Like, they experience all kinds of amazing miracles. Like, sometimes it's in the season of challenge faith where you experience the most miracles. I know that's true in my life. As I look back, Amy and I were just talking about this past week. As we look back and we tell some of our miracle stories and testimonies, some of the greatest moments of our lives happened during the most difficult season of our life. I think back about, you know, getting this church started years ago and when we first moved to Westchester, and some of the most amazing stories in our lives of God's provision and financial provision and how God sent people to us, like the greatest miracles of our life also came during the most difficult wilderness road type season. And so just know that that's often where God does some of his greatest work. He's working in your life even when you're in a wilderness season, a season of challenged faith. Now, fast forward with me to Exodus chapter 16, all right? We would think that after all that the Israelites have seen, I mean, these miracles and different stories we're going to look at over the next few weeks, the parting of the Red Sea, I'm always amazed as I read the story of Exodus. I keep thinking, like, how can the Israelites not have more faith? I mean, they've seen so many miracles. They saw the plagues that came on Egypt to deliver them. Like, you would imagine that they would just believe God for anything. Well, fast forward to Exodus chapter 16, and we're going to look at how the Israelites responded to another season of challenged faith. Look at this, Exodus chapter 16. This is after, you know, they've been in the wilderness for some time and they've been delivered and they haven't taken the shortcut route. They're kind of wandering a little bit. Here's what it says, Exodus 16, verses 2 through 3. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Aaron was Moses' brother. Not they were in the wilderness and they were full of faith and they recounted the faithfulness and the goodness of God. No, they grumbled. They complained. Here's what it says. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. Like, if only we were dead. It would be better to be dead than be in this situation. There in Egypt, we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Come on, they're complaining at Moses. They're grumbling at Moses. They're like, life was better in Egypt. If I was Moses, I would have gone off on them. Come on, I would have been like, life was better in Egypt. You bunch of bums, you were slaves in Egypt, and God ought to kill all of you. That's what I would have done. I would have called down a plague and killed all of them. Thank God Moses was a lot more gracious and more merciful than me. Pray for your pastor. Come on, I got to be more like Jesus. But this is what Moses is putting up with. These people whom God has delivered, whom God has worked all of these mighty works on their behalf, they haven't ended up with the rescue that they wanted. And so now, the same people who cried out to a loving heavenly Father who delivered them, who was moved with compassion, the same people who cried out to God are now complaining against him and complaining against the man that God raised up to deliver them. Can you believe this? Same group of people, two really different responses. In Egypt, they cried out to God. In the desert, they complained against him. You know, there's a real difference between, a really important distinction between crying out and complaining. I can just tell you, as a father, when my kids are crying out, if one of my kids, you know, falls down and gets hurt off his bike or something like that, or one of my kids is feeling sick and crying out, I'm moved with compassion. I remember when my kids were little, you know, they used to sleep with a baby monitor, and if one of them cried, I would jump up and be startled, because as a father, I'd want to go check on them and make sure they were okay. I'm moved with compassion when they cry out in that way. But when my kids complain, when they're ungrateful, when they're not thankful for all that we've done, they don't get the same response from Dad. It does not elicit a response of compassion. There's a real difference here. And what is the essence of this difference? Here you go. I'm going to help you. I'm going to give it to you today. The difference between crying out and complaining can be boiled down to one thing, and it's this word. It's the word trust. The difference between crying out to a God who is a loving heavenly Father and complaining to a God who's not doing things on our timetable, who doesn't have us, you know, on the comfortable, easy road, but on the desert road. The difference between crying out and complaining, it all boils down to trust. And crying out, we expressed a determination to trust God. God, I don't understand what's going on here. God, I don't understand this pain. God, I don't understand, you know, why I'm facing these difficulties, but I'm crying out to you because my trust is in you. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Do you see the proclamation? Do you see it, church? Like, my trust is in you. My confidence is in you. But when we begin to complain, when we begin to complain in our spirit and begin to have a complaining attitude, it shows a lack of trust in God. It says, God, I trust my plan more than your plan. Because here's the news flash. We can be really tough on the Israelites, but the truth is we're a lot like them. As I've been studying the Exodus story, I'm so convicted because I realized that even as a New Testament Christian child of God who knows the grace and mercy of Jesus and lives with it every day, I can be so much like the Israelites because there's such a difference between crying out and complaining. I can find myself complaining. I can find myself grumbling. God, I don't understand why this is going on. God, I don't understand why a tropical storm had to hit me this week. Don't you know I'm doing your work? Don't you know I'm pastoring your church, praying for people? My kids are driving me crazy. I got a generator going out in the middle of the night. Come on. I can begin to complain. I can get frustrated in this COVID season, you know? Like, I had this church that was growing and things were going wonderful and now we're like online and I don't even know who still goes to our church. And I can begin to complain. There's a difference between crying out, trusting God, and complaining. And the difference is trust. The difference is faith. It's trust. And so here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line this morning, church, and I want you to get this. Every one of us, we're going to face difficulties. Come on. This whole year, right, has probably been, for most of us, a season of challenged faith. If things are just going perfect for you, pray for the rest of us. So here's the deal. We're all going to face it. The question is, how are we going to respond? How are we going to get through it? Are we going to get through in a way that's faithful? Are we going to get through in a way that shows we trust God? Every one of us has to choose how we're going to respond. Every one of us, we're one person, but there's two possible responses, crying out or complaining. And let me just tell you where it all hinges. The breakthrough comes in how you see God. The breakthrough comes in how you see God. Do you really see him as a loving heavenly Father? Come on, do you really believe deep down in your heart that he's the God who sees you? Come on, he sees your need. Let me just tell you, church, that's who he is. He's the God who sees you. Do you really believe that he's the God who hears you? That when you pray, it doesn't just fall on deaf ears. It's not just like making a wish out there into the stars somewhere, but he's the loving heavenly Father who hears your prayers. Do you really believe that he's the God who's moved with compassion? How you see him will determine what you believe about him. It'll determine your level of trust. And I want to just tell you, when you lose your way, because we all do, time to time, we lose our way. We kind of lose our perspective of God. I look at Jesus Christ. I think of Jesus hanging on that cross, the ultimate symbol of self-sacrificial love. And it reminds me that this is the God who loves me. He's the God who loves me so much that he held nothing back. He gave his very self for me. And he's the God that I know I can cry out to. Come on, the scripture says he's close to the brokenhearted. Those are the times when you can cry out and know that he hears you. And let me leave you with this final truth. Here it is. How you respond determines who you become. Come on, how you respond often plays a part in determining who you become. There are some decisions, some choices we make don't just determine where we end up in life, but they determine the kind of person we become in the process. And here's what I know about you, church. Here's what I believe about you. I believe for so many of you, you want to be a person of faith. Come on, how many of you want that? How many of you really want to become a person who has that living faith? The kind of person who, no matter what happens, no matter what's happening around you, no matter what you're facing, what difficulties, what circumstances, you're somebody who holds on to God. You're somebody who holds on to hope. You're somebody who has a deep and abiding trust. You're somebody who can encourage and pray for others. Come on, many of you, you've had people like that around you in your life and you were inspired by them. And I really believe for so many of you, that's the kind of faith you want to have. And here's what I want to tell you, God will give it to you. But you got to hold on in the journey through challenged faith. You only get a living faith when you hold on to God. during that challenge time when he takes you through the journey of challenge faith. And I want you to know, I want to encourage you today, church, that's when he's building you. That's when he's shaping you. That's when he's making you into someone who has a deep reservoir of faith. I want to tell you, I woke up the other day in the middle of this tropical storm and having electricity out at my house. And that night was a miserable night. I had no sleep. And I woke up the other day in the morning and I just got determined. I woke up and I rolled out of bed and I said, God, I'm going to get through this. God, this week isn't going to last forever. One day I'm going to look back and I'm going to laugh at this. One day I'm going to look back at this whole crazy season of challenged faith, and it's going to be a story of your faithfulness. And I want to just tell you, it just did something from my heart. It just did something from my mind. Sometimes you got to preach to yourself. And this preacher got up and I began to preach to myself, just like David in the Psalms, rise up, O downcast soul. I began to remind myself of the faithfulness and the goodness of God, all that he's taken me through. And I was reminded that this week's challenges, they're just one more story, just one more episode for me to look back and say, God, you were faithful. You took care of me. And you're building a faith in my life that is a living faith. Come on, how many of you want that this morning, church? Right in the midst of whatever you're facing. Let me just ask you this. What are you facing? I know the backdrop of this year, there's been COVID and racial riots, and for some of us, a tropical storm this week that's knocked out electricity. But many of you, you're facing your own challenges within the challenge of this year. Maybe it's a financial challenge. Maybe it's a need for healing in your body or a sick loved one. Maybe it's a strain on a relationship, someone that you need to forgive or they need to forgive you. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's loneliness. Maybe it's an addiction. I don't know what it is for you. But I believe for so many of you right now, there's the tug of the Holy Spirit in your heart that's just drawing you to God, to trust him and to walk into this experience of having a living faith. And I really believe God wants that for you. I want that for you today. So can we just pray right now? Come on, let's pray for God to help us to do a work in us. Would you just pray with me? Let's come into agreement. Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. We thank you that you are a loving heavenly Father. And we declare today that you are the God who, you're the God who sees us. God, you're the God who hears us. You're the God who's moved by compassion on our behalf. We choose to believe that today, God. And Lord, we ask you to forgive us of the times that we've complained, that we've been ungrateful, that God, the times when we've had a lack of trust. And Lord, today, we choose to place our trust in you, to believe that you are a good and faithful God. And we ask you to help us to embrace this journey as we journey through the challenge faith, God, to hold on to faith, to hold on to trust, to hold on to hope, that we're going to emerge with a living faith, a deep and abiding faith. And Lord, we trust that you are going to do the work in our lives to transform us along the journey. And so we say, Lord, have your way in us. Come on, somebody needs to pray that. Somebody needs to type that in the comments today. Lord, have your way in me, that I would just embrace the journey, find joy in the journey, know that you are working in my life and you're transforming me into a person of deep and abiding, living faith. God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.